I probably broke too many people's hearts, and I probably ruined too many good friendships in these casual relationships that I tried to have with people.
You playa.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bible Geeks Weekly Podcast. This is episode 43. I'm Brian Sheely.
I'm Ryan Choi.
And thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. On today's episode, we're going to wrap up our conversation that we've been having about young folks. There we go. That might be the last time I say it for a while. We're going to be talking about sharpening our skills. We're going to be looking at one of the most skillful books in all the Bible, and that is the book of Proverbs.
Yeah, yeah. Wisdom is all about being skillful at life. So we're going to talk about how do we sharpen our skills starting early.
So we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we do, we have a Jesus Said segment. And you've got a verse for me this week?
I do. Matthew 26 and verse 41. And we won't read all of the context, but I will say this is Jesus with his disciples, with Peter and James and John in Gethsemane. And he wants them to sit with him, and he finds them sleeping. And in verse 41, he gives some really important instruction. He says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And that's it. What do you think?
That is short and sweet. Man.
Pretty powerful, too.
It's interesting that these two pieces to this, watch and pray, are almost like the antidote that he's giving to their sleepy condition.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is specifically addressing their drowsiness here. But the need to watch and pray is an encouragement that we see all over the Bible.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a deeper message than he's giving than just stay awake. But the fact that he does say here, watch and pray, be alert, be aware that you might not enter into temptation. The last part of this, I think, is the thing that grabs me right away. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And that is hands down like a universally applicable message for me. Mm-hmm. I know what I want to do. I know I want to stay awake. I know I want to be a good Christian. I know I want to be a good servant. But the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always desires. There's always things going on that are tugging at your willpower. He's saying the antidote for that is to be watchful. But not only to be watchful, to be communicating with God. Those two things together can help you keep away from those kinds of temptations.
And the goal of all of that is that you may not enter into temptation, which I think is interesting. It's not just that you may not succumb to temptation, but that you may not enter into temptation. And, you know, you'll never succumb to temptation if you can just stay away from it.
It feels to me sometimes like temptation is something that happens to me.
Mm.
Like I am a innocent bystander as temptation just thrusts itself upon me. But we play a part in this too. We enter into it. It's mm-hmm. a willful decision on our part that we put ourselves, in many cases, we put ourselves in temptation's way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our choice. We make it a whole lot easier when we get really close and we are not watchful and we're not prayerful. We put ourselves into a situation where temptation is so much easier because of our choices. And I think that's in the conversation we're about to have about skill and wisdom, it really is forward-looking enough to say, am I making a decision now that's going to stick myself in a situation where I'm not going to be able to control myself? And we talked about this too on that self-control episode that we played in our replay episode a while back,
mm-hmm.
about setting ourselves up poorly in, for example, like the way that we eat. If you're hungry, if you haven't eaten in a long time, if you've just not been doing well in your diet, and then you set yourself up at some point to just have to have that double scoop of chocolate chip. And we put ourselves in these situations too often, and then we, on the other side of it, think this happened to me. But no, I think mm-hmm. Jesus is saying here, you stick yourself right in the middle of it by your poor choices early, early on.
take responsibility for your whole life.
Yeah. And do it early.
Yeah. Right now, take responsibility, not just for those things that you can very clearly point to and say, you know, I had a victory here or I committed a sin there, but take responsibility for the whole context of your life.
There's nothing like feeling out of control. And you do have control over some things if you take responsibility for it early. And even if you can't control anyone else around you or some of these situations that just happen to you by time and chance, at the very least, you can control your reaction to it. All right, so let's roll this into our first segment. We're going to go back to one of our more recent segments, which is top four Proverbs.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And we're going to look here at some of our favorite Proverbs about young people. And they may not be specifically about young people, but what would you have told yourself if you could travel back in time, wisdom that you needed to hear? And I think that's something that would be useful to close out this series of conversations about looking back to this wisdom that we find from Proverbs. And the first one is from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And it says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." If I had to go back to my younger self and tell myself anything, it would probably be this: to choose your friends wisely. And I can look back at my own life and my own experience, and I can see the pull that ungodly friends had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I steered myself away from them toward godly friends who were more interested in sharpening me spiritually than making me feel good physically, that's when I really found skill and wisdom. And that's what this proverb is really saying. If you walk with the wise, well, you're going to become wise.
That's so good. Yeah. So I'll throw mine on top of that because it's also about friendship. Proverb number 2, Proverbs 18:24. And it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother."
Yeah.
And where yours is about the quality of the person, which is so important to choose wise people to be around, this one is about the quality of the friendship,
mm-hmm.
right? The difference between a bunch of companions or one real friend. And I feel like so much of my youth I spent with a bunch of companions and not a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And also wanting lots of companions and wanting lots of people to like me. I didn't have Facebook, but, you know, the equivalent of the 800 Facebook friends, you know, just that connection with everyone. I was never like a popular guy or anything in high school.
You had MySpace, didn't you?
I was before MySpace. We had MS-DOS. No, I...
AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah. But, you know, the way that these things start to show up is I see this now looking at my kids. I can see already the desire to be liked by everyone and to have all of these connections. And it doesn't matter if someone doesn't value you and value your friendship. If you can have a bunch of those and you can be part of the group, you just want to mm-hmm. be a face in that crowd and have some place to sit at the lunch table, you know?
Sure.
And what I have learned is what this proverb is also saying, that it's better to have no friends than to have mm-hmm. a bunch of meaningless friendships. But when you can find 1, 2, 3, 4 really good friends, and you can build that list and grow that list, especially as you find yourself in the Lord's people, but you start to build those real relationships you can invest in. And there's somebody who's going to stick with you closer than a brother. There's somebody who is born for adversity, as another proverb says, that no matter what you go through, they're going to be there for you. You can tell them the truth. You can listen to their thoughts and their ideas. And it's not like they're always going to be right or always going to be perfect in the things that they do towards you even. But you just keep working things out because you learn you can count on them. And man, there's something so great about that. I've found whenever I find someone that I just know, this person is dependable and reliable for friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if we have anything in common. Our personalities can be totally opposite. It's just knowing that creates something so meaningful to me. And a really good life is a life where you can just keep adding not just many companions, but this, maybe not massive, but this really meaningful group of friends who stick closer than a brother.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with social media, though. I think that's one of the big draws of social media is just acquiring these loose connections to people. And mm-hmm. in the moment, you feel like they're very, very important.
Ooh, friend request.
Yes. That hit of dopamine, right?
Yeah.
You get the shot of endorphins and you feel good. But at the end of the day, are any of those people really going to stick close to you? Are they really going to build you up when you need it the most? They're probably not going to. They're probably not going to be the people who sharpen you the way that a close friend will. Rather than spreading ourselves so thin, trying to become popular with everyone,
mm-hmm.
the better choice, I think, especially in our youth, is really to find a small subset of people who you can get really, really close to. And I think I had that growing up, but then there was always the tendency to try to broaden that too far to people that really didn't care all that much. That's a good one.
So what's number three?
Yeah. So number three is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. These are two Proverbs that are very closely connected together. He says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." I love these two verses combined together, and it tells me a whole lot about who I'm listening to. Am I listening to myself? Am I making plans? Am I directing my own steps? And we kind of talked about this in a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the one who's paving my own way? Or is it more important for me to, number one, listen to the purpose of the Lord, because that's the only thing that's going to stand? But then number two, am I listening to the advice of other people and accepting their instruction?
How do you think that could have affected your youth, or maybe did affect your youth when you did do this? Like, how does this change a person to listen to advice, to accept instruction?
Again, going back to a few episodes ago, when I was younger me, I thought I knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was well aware of everything that needed to happen and how it needed to happen. And if somebody didn't do something the way that I thought they needed to do it, well, then I was pretty critical of their decisions or their advice or their instruction. And if I would have really honed in on this advice as a younger person, I think I would have been much more aware of how many are the plans in the mind of a man, and I had them.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly had many, many plans, and I thought I knew where things were going. But listening to other people, listening to instruction, opening up my ears and realizing that people have been through it before, and I need to pick up on their wisdom, mm-hmm. that would have gone a long way in changing the decisions that I made. And there were times where I did do this. There were times where I probably was more receptive to instruction than others, but I didn't do it as often as I should have.
And it also speaks to the value of giving wisdom and advice. If you are someone that has that, I don't feel like I always was given much advice or instruction to take to, just someone really investing in me to do that. Not that that didn't ever happen, and I maybe wasn't on the lookout as much as I should have been seeking it out. But it's for those of us who have been through a few things, maybe there's a place for us to reach out more.
I think there's a general tendency for us to be so self-centered, not in maybe a negative way, but just for us to be thinking about ourselves and not thinking as much about how valuable would my insight be to someone who is going through this now. And then maybe on the other side of it, a fear about how somebody's going to receive our instruction, because sometimes if you're not careful with the way you give instruction to someone, it can be really off-putting. It can sound like you're talking down to them or that you're looking at them as inferior to you. And so for those people who have shared their wisdom with me in a way that I was receptive to, it was almost always coming from a place of love and concern. And you could see that. I mean, it was just obvious that that's the reason why they were sharing this with me, because they didn't want me to make the same mistakes they did, or they could see the dangerous path I was on and they wanted to step in and help because they loved me, and they were willing to risk me becoming angry or me putting up my walls in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be sharing this with other people, but we need to be doing it with grace and with gentleness and with love and sincerity, to the point where people know exactly where we're coming from when we share this kind of insight about their lives.
Yeah, we talked back in the Signs series about the importance of being invited to make a difference in someone's life, to really challenge them and instruct them. And just, it's really hard to push that on someone. Not that there isn't a place for that, but it's just your effectiveness is going to be more limited in that situation. But if we can get good at asking a question like, could I share something with you that really helped me, or that I wish someone would have told me years ago, or something like that? And that sometimes can give them the opportunity to open themselves to it. And whether it's given in the right way or not, the wise person that Proverbs presents hears even poorly given or even rebukes that are chastisement, you know, that's something that the wise person loves to be rebuked. Crazy,
yeah,
though it sounds, because that's how they get sharpened. That's how they get wise, and their skills become more what they need to be.
Yeah, we busted out the knife sharpener for Thanksgiving this year, and the knife sharpener just doesn't tickle the blade. I mean, it's not like making the blade feel good, and that's what makes it sharper. It's a rough spinning edge that it's rubbing against to get that thing sharp. And sometimes you're going to create friction when you're trying to sharpen someone, and that's not always going to come across on their level as being perceived as comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's challenging, but at the same time, I like what you said though, it's useful. And the wise person, the person who's looking for this kind of wisdom, he's going to receive it as useful and helpful and something he can grow and learn from.
Mm-hmm. Hey, one more thing in this verse that I'm just in verse 20 is, as you're talking about this knife sharpening, it kind of implies that the sharpening will take time. Listen to advice and accept instruction, not just that you may gain wisdom, but that you may gain wisdom in the future. Yeah. I think that's interesting because sometimes it's a slow burn. Like you hear it and then you try it, or you hear it and you reject it and then you learn, or you hear it and you put the work in, but you can't quite get it right. But eventually wisdom comes from this constant practice of accepting the instruction given to you.
Yeah, that happens to me so often too, even in just looking back at parenting and the way that my parents dealt with me when I thought that they were crazy and they didn't know anything. Now, on the other side of being a parent myself, I look back to the things that they told me and I just tell myself all the time, like, they were 100% right. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't think they were right at all. And so sometimes it takes time for you to really marinate and percolate on some idea to the point where you can let it sink in, let it do its work. And finally you realize, oh yeah, that is actually useful.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the last proverb here?
Number four, Proverbs 4:23. It's one that just is a rubric for life, you know? So Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life.
Don't poison the water.
Don't poison the water. Really, really, because your whole life is in that water. And you can poison it so early and so easily. And so that's one thing from this for sure, is there are things, that bad choices that I made, there are attitudes I developed, habits of life, habits of thought, all kinds of things that I have spent a lifetime trying to purge myself of. and that's keeping the heart. But it would be better if I hadn't let anything creep into the heart at the beginning. And then, like, every good thing that is in my life now, they're all blessings from God's grace. But that grace has led me to keep my heart with all vigilance. It's led me to value purity and gentleness and faith, you know, all the things that have gotten me through the stuff of life have come from what's in my heart. And this idea of keeping watch, going back to watch and pray, keeping watch over your heart, keep it, maintain it, protect it, go to the source of that water and tend to it all your life. And it's going to change what the rest of your life looks like.
It's almost like a custody kind of word. And that's one of the definitions of this Hebrew word.
Yeah.
Custody. You're taking ownership of it.
You're the custodian.
Yeah, exactly. You're the one who is standing on guard, and you've got your armor on, you've got your shield at the ready, and you're going to protect your heart as much as you possibly can. And I think sometimes as I was younger, I probably went out to battle in sandals and a t-shirt, and I wasn't out there with the right kind of armor on, and I probably let too much come into my heart that really has been problematic in my life. And I like what you said about really having to deal with those kinds of things in a longer term way later on. Mm-hmm. And it would have been better if we just would have kept ourselves from those things, the way we think, the way we act, what we do, who our friends are. And I think even tying this into the friendship proverbs that we've been talking about, how hard is it at some point to rid yourself of friendships that shouldn't be a part of your life? If we were vigilant about our heart in the first place, we would have been very aware of their negative impact on us. It's that lack of watchfulness that keeps us from making those good decisions early on that would have just stopped the problem altogether at the source.
And how many friendships get poisoned, and maybe people don't realize, wow, why is it that all these people are horrible friends to me, or I can't seem to find good friendships? One of the things in this verse is, look at your heart and see if these friendships are flowing from that spring. Because sometimes my grandpap used to say, wherever you go, there you are. And, you know, you know, sometimes you look around and, you know, every job I go to, there's a problem, or every church I go to, it's all full of problem people. And I hate it. And everywhere you go, there's all these problems. Well, what is the one constant throughout all of these variables? You are. Wherever you go, there you are. And you bring your heart with you, and your life is just spraying out of it.
All right. So let's close this thing out. Let's tell ourselves maybe the last little bits of advice that we would have wanted to hear as a younger person now, I don't know, what, 20 some odd years later? All right. So I would say to my younger self, you need to develop a better habit of prayer, meditation, and silence. Mm-hmm. Those three things, those three ways of disciplining yourself are just super important in developing a deeper relationship with God and a deeper understanding of who you are. Because I think this rat race of life, the busyness of life that we're in so much of the time, is so hard to stop and just be quiet and find these times. And if I would have developed a better prayer life, a better meditation habit, a better sense of just being quiet early on, then I probably would not have had to bend myself to that will later on in life.
I love that, leaving some air to breathe, and in conversation, even with other people, the power of silence and not being afraid of silence in those relationships and in those times when I was with other people.
The second thing I probably would say to myself as a younger person is, find a friend that you're comfortable sharing your successes and failures with. It just ties right into your proverb that we talked about a little bit ago. But
yeah,
somebody who you can open up to, because so often we put this facade out there about who we are and what we're about and what we're doing. And we want to make it look like we're perfect. You know, you can look at all kinds of Instagram feeds nowadays where people Photoshop themselves half to death because they want to look perfect. And it's like, if you ever saw the behind the scenes look at that person, you'd know it wasn't even them at all. They bear no resemblance to the thing that they put out there. And I think we do that a lot, just even in the ways that we relate to each other. But finding somebody who you could just open up to and say, here's the dumb stuff I did.
Yeah, you're taking a lot of what I was thinking about talking about too. I was thinking about a support structure. And it's really hard to develop that, but this is what you're saying, and finding a friend is a real cornerstone of a support structure where you can talk things out, where you can work through making sense of your world and your struggles and, you know, what's going on, and somebody that is a good listener, somebody that you're committed to listening to. And if you can have a few of those, that's great. And then along with that, I keep going back to find a mentor or more than one mentor. You know, look to the elders in your congregation or to older people in your congregation, older women, older men. And you'd be amazed how many just would love to have someone come up to us and say, hey, you know, I need somebody to talk things out with. And that really can make or break a life. It really can.
So speaking of parents and their wisdom and their advice, the last thing that I would have told myself, which ended up being something that my dad told me right before I met my wife, he told me, don't pursue a relationship with someone seriously unless you're intensely committed to becoming married to this person. And that's not a hard and fast rule. I'm not going to go across the board and just say everybody needs to do that. But for me, I was pursuing a lot of relationships with people casually and just getting involved with people and getting out of relationships with people. And I probably broke too many people's hearts, and I probably ruined too many good friendships in these casual relationships that I tried to have with people.
You player.
He told me, don't go pursue a relationship with someone unless you're serious about getting married. Mm-hmm. And I thought at the time, like, Dad, you're crazy. And then I ended up marrying the girl that he was telling me not to go see.
Well, that showed him.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's true to a certain degree. I think we talked about it on the last episode, but it's easy to play a little fast and loose with our relationships. And it's easy just to pursue this person, then that person, and then bounce around. But you forget about the impact that you're going to have on those people should that relationship not pan out.
And I'll add to that one of mine that really just goes right with it, which is be choosy.
Mm-hmm.
Be choosy with the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And this is something that I feel blessed that I did, that something that I suffered over and really spent so much time praying over and waiting and making lists and thinking about it and talking to people about. And
you made lists.
I totally made lists.
The pros and cons of Adrian.
No. Well, I probably did that too. But I had long lists about, like, who I was looking for long before I met her, and just praying about it and thinking about it. But my advice is be choosy, be really picky, and you're not looking for the perfect person, but you're trying to make a wise choice about a person that is going to sharpen your skills, is going to be your support, your number one support structure for life, someone you can challenge and who will challenge you, you can confess to and who will confess to you, who can pray with you and you can study together and is serious about the Lord. So,
well, it goes back to Proverbs 18:24, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And if you could have any friend who was that way, you'd probably want that to be the person you were spending the rest of your life with. And I think being choosy and picky about those kinds of relationships is super important.
There was a proverb I was thinking about talking about, Proverbs 12:11, that talks about the difference between working the land versus following worthless pursuits and like daydreams and ideas. And, you know, I was thinking about entertainment and meaningless things we pursue and coming up with a million different ideas, but not really ever committing to one. And so many worthless things you can spend your time on, and the value of recognizing that each choice you make, especially the big decisions of your life, it's not everything, but it is contributing to the next place you go. So every time you decide to do something more frivolous or even take a job that's not really where you want to go because you're scared or you want to take it easy for a while or something like that, not saying that's wrong, but that is letting go of an opportunity for concrete accomplishment and meaningfully moving your life forward and using your gifts and trying to figure out your next big step in your life. And so just recognizing the value that you have and that your time has, your gifts have, the way you can contribute in life, and starting early, making intentional decisions and putting the work in, investing yourself in whatever the thing is that you think God wants you to do, the thing that you deeply want to do, that you're willing to do, not that your flesh and your weakness is pulling you to do, the thing that you want to do, go after it and keep moving forward.
Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord.
Exactly.
All right. So if we could only go back and tell ourselves these things, that would probably be really helpful for us. But hopefully you got some value out of these things. As we wrap up this conversation, let's get into the challenge for this episode. So what is the challenge? Given all the things that we've talked about, what do we want to focus on here?
Challenge is spend time with a friend who sharpens you. Hopefully a pleasurable and not too challenging challenge to go spend some quality time with someone who's going to make a difference and support you in the good things of your life.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the Bible Geeks podcast. You can find us on our website at BibleGeeks.fm. You can also find show notes for this episode at BibleGeeks.fm/43. And hey, if you want to get involved in our newsletter for our daily download series, go sign up. Throw us your email, and every day we'll shoot you an email with the latest daily download right in your inbox. We're also on social media. We are the Bible Geeks on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all over the place. And until next week, everyone, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
Shalom.